Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for the ministry call upon each one of our lives. We understand that that calling, O God, is to be developed in a revelation of Jesus in our hearts. That every calling that you have over our lives is structured in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, in his image and in his fullness, Lord. It is one of the unveilings of the mystery of Christ. That this calling that you have upon our lives, this ministry that you mean to develop in our lives, it is a profound and complex process, O God, that you mean to engineer in our lives. It's a process through which we will come to appreciate that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a process by which we will come to appreciate that we are creatures of destiny. That as your word says, O God, we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. And you have purposes in our lives, O God, that are in accordance with your ambitions, Father, over each one of us as a father unto his sons. And Jesus Christ is the model in which you mean to fashion us and form us. And this is why your word declares so clearly that of his fullness we have all received and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And it is that realization that is so crucial to what you mean to do with us, Lord. In every little thing in our lives, you are at work with us, Lord. Even in our sleeping hours, you are at work with us. You are structuring our hearts and minds. You are structuring our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious. You are structuring us, O God, in thought, word, and in deed. You are bringing forth in us a complex creation, O God, that will unfold each one of us as sons of God, kings in the making, a living priesthood, O God, a prophetic people, Lord. And in this reality, O God, of being called as sons of the Almighty and Most High God, we have a ministry that we need to unveil, a calling that defines that ministry, a calling that is going to be developed so that we will know this ministry and the anointings through which this ministry is going to unfold. Everything in this ministry is going to be enabled by you, by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that we will walk before you and be holy and blameless before you. And as we unveil this ministry, Lord, we will begin to understand and know what it means to function in the power and excellence of the Most High God. What it means to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And that is an awesome reality. It's like nothing we have ever learnt in the world system, Lord. It is something entirely beyond the system of the world. What you mean to structure within us and what you mean to unveil within us is part and parcel of what is called the mystery of Christ. And we want to bless you for that, Lord. So bless us today, O God, as we understand the fact that we are ministers of a new covenant, Lord. Let that meaning, O God, come alive in us and let that revelation, O God, fashion and form, O God, our response to you in all eternity, Lord. We thank you for what you are about to give us. We thank you for the work begun. We present to you our hearts. We present to you our minds. We present to you, O God, our spirits, our souls, our bodies. And we ask you, Father, to consecrate us so that we will become ministers of the living God in righteousness and holiness of the truth, functioning by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Always conscious of the fact that we walk before you, Lord, at all times, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. We are your children. You have purchased us in the blood of the Lamb, and we belong to you in the merits of the Lamb. And that is an awesome privilege that you have given us, O God. And we are thankful for the finished work of the cross. We are thankful for the painstaking ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are thankful for the work begun. We are thankful for what you have given us, a sense of destiny and a sense of purpose, Lord, that will unveil in all eternity. We are overawed, Lord, that we have in ministry a purpose that is going to be developed in all eternity. We bless you and thank you for all that you are going to do with us, Father, forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, we pray that, Lord, you will bring us, O God, as ministers of the new covenant, by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Teach us how to function. Teach us how to do all things in the name of Jesus. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There are many other definitions of ministry, but Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 gives credence to the reality of ministry in all eternity. You will find that the word ministry is synonymous with service. That the Greek word for service and the Greek word for ministry are the same Greek word. So to be a minister, you must have a servant's heart. And that's very crucial to your understanding of what God wants you to do. If you're not prepared to be a servant, then you have no business in ministry. The word ministry is something you will not understand. So if you're going to be a minister of the new covenant, you have to be a servant of the new covenant. All right. So let's look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You are an epistle of Christ. In the New American Standard is written, you are a letter of Christ. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. So you are an epistle, you are a letter. Written not with ink, that is erasable, but written by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, like in the Old Testament, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, all right? On tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. Praise the Lord. Okay? Verse 6. Verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. As ministers of the new covenant. So your ministry unveils in a covenant. Ministry is not something you do for a time and a season. The covenant that God is structuring into your heart is an eternal covenant. It is a covenant that is entirely God's handiwork. It is meant to be an eternal covenant. So your work in ministry is not something you do for 5 years and look for rewards in 5 years. It is meant to be something that is going to be built and developed in all eternity. So what you do right now, what you begin to do right now is so crucial to all that will be in the future. So be careful to do what you do in the right way. You can't do your own thing in the kingdom of God. You can only do what God wants you to do. You can only do what God has for you. And it's so important to understand this. That's why I chose this passage of scripture to introduce the reality of ministry to you. That this new covenant, this passage that Paul has written here by the Holy Spirit, comes out of the Old Testament. What does God do in the Old Testament? He brings a nation out of Egypt. And we have all come out of Egypt. And the first thing that God does with these people whom he brought out of Egypt is to make covenant with them. So covenant is not highty-flighty theology. Covenant is something fundamental to everything God does with you. Whether you know it or you don't know it, God is in the process of fashioning and forming a covenant with you. That salvation is a process that unveils this covenant in your heart. And as this covenant unveils in your heart, you are realizing the dimensions of your salvation. So ministry is a function of that covenant. So Paul writes, you shall minister this covenant. So in the Old Testament, God takes Moses into the mountain and he gives him 2 tablets of the testimony, right? Exodus chapter 31 verse 18 says that those 2 tablets of the testimony were written by the finger of God. And we've done so much of teaching on that. In Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16, God says that those tablets are the workmanship of God, and the writing on those tablets were the writing of God. Moses simply received those tablets. They had nothing to do with him. He had absolutely no input into those tablets. I would like to repeat that. He had absolutely no input into those tablets. So those two tablets were taken and put into the Ark of the Covenant. So Paul is looking at it in the context of a new covenant. And God is now writing that covenant and forming that covenant into the tablets of human hearts. Into each one of us, God is manifesting that covenant according to what He has purposed in our lives as sons of the living God, whether we are male or we are female. And that's the awesome work that God has begun. And one of the aspects of that awesome work is the ministry that God has for each one of us. So you need to understand that this covenant is the basis of everything that you do. That ministry is not just operating in an anointing or operating in a gifting. Although there are verses in the Bible that seem to suggest that. Although that is the common practice in the church. Lay hands and release a person with the anointing or the gifting, and then telling them to go out and minister in that anointing or that gifting. That's the superficial level of ministry. The depths of ministry are structured into your being. So how you minister determines what sort of a person you become as well. So what you minister into other people's lives has an impact on your own life. How you do things towards others has an impact on your own destiny before God. So ministry is not a game. So God demands that we do all things in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And it's so crucial for us to do that. Because in ministry, when you have the anointing and you have power functioning in everything that you say and you do, it is so easy to misuse things and to do things the way you want to do them, because that is natural to all of us. And that's why I want to start by asking you to understand the deeper implications of ministry. Because you can go into a prophetic school, you can go into another kind of school, and you know, people will lay hands on you and say you are released into ministry. That's not quite right. There is something deeper that ministry represents, and you need to understand why we did the first 8 modules, so that you will realize that what God is building inside of you is something eternal and abiding, that out of what He is building inside of you will flow your ministry. Now, this is why God kept Jesus in the carpenter's workshop for so many years. Although at the age of 12 He was already so anointed with so much of wisdom and so much of knowledge and so much of understanding, God kept Him in the carpenter's workshop because He wanted to teach Him things. He wanted to make Him an instrument of the covenant that He was going to fashion and form into humanity. And you need to understand that God doesn't do slipshod work. God does painstaking work. God fashions us and forms us. And what we have inside of us is so crucial to God. Whether you understand it or not, in your heart you stand before God at the speed of thought. That the reality of you having a covenant being structured in your heart means that you are online with God all the time, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. That's what it means to be in covenant with God. And that is awesome. It also has awesome responsibilities. So it's so important for us to understand that given the implications of what stands in this covenant, God says, this is my workmanship, this is not your workmanship. This is my work in you, this is what I will fashion and form inside of you. And at the end of it all, it is I who would have made you adequate as a servant of this new covenant. Or as a minister of this new covenant. Got that? Let me read you what this same passage comes out as in the New American Standard. Okay. From verse 3, you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Christ towards God. That confidence comes out of your heart. That confidence is a result of what God puts into your heart. So until God puts that confidence inside of you, you can't cook up the confidence. All right. And in the natural, you know that confidence comes out of your being able to do something. So if you're struggling with doing something the right way, there's nothing abnormal about that. But what you must understand is that God will make you adequate in His time for what He has called you to do. All right? So don't compare yourself with somebody else. Because what God is working inside of you is peculiar to your nature, your character, your personality. It is peculiar to what He has purposed for you from time immemorial. Verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. The New King James uses slightly different words, but I like these words. Our adequacy is from God. And adequacy means that everything that you need for the ministry that God has for you, He will supply. Now that's why it is so important to understand that you are ministers of the new covenant, and that new covenant is structured as entirely being the workmanship of God, and therefore everything that you minister out of the new covenant is brought to you by God. He fashions you, He forms you, and He enables you to realize what He has for you. What is your part in all of this? Your part is to receive what God has for you. Your part is to say yes and amen to God and move into the things God has for you by faith. Your job is to set your hope on Jesus and know that God has given you an eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. That you are in God not because of your merits or not because you are a wonderful chap, but simply because God has purchased you in the blood of the Lamb. God has set you apart in the merits of the Lamb, and God has sent His Holy Spirit to work this covenant into you. So many of us get worked up in the flesh because things don't seem to move the way we would like them to move. The new covenant is not anything like what you imagined it to be. It is God's idea, it is God's design, it is God's work in your heart. So everything that comes out in this new covenant is going to be a discovery of something that you don't know. You can look at other people and have a general idea of how it's going to come out, but when it specifically comes out in your life, it's going to be unique. So you are never to compare yourself with somebody else. You can see how God is developing men and women of God in different parts of the world and raising them into high positions. But you must always understand, whether slow or fast, God is doing a work peculiar to you. Sometimes the foundations being laid may be very deep foundations, and you may not see anything come up out of the surface. And you may be worried, what's happening with me? Something wrong with me? It's all right. When I look at myself, I've been what now? 14 years in ministry now. Almost 14 years in ministry. I'm just beginning to understand what my ministry is all about. At least the first phase of it. And as I look back at the 14 years, there have been several periods of time when I was very worked up about the fact that God was not working the way I thought He should be working. On hindsight, I see that all that was very dangerous because He could have set me going on the wrong path. There was always a temptation to just use your own intelligence and go after what you want to do. And I thank God that somehow or other He didn't allow that to come out, although there were many opportunities for that sort of thing to develop. So I would like to put it to you that God has started a work in your life, and He who started a good work in you, He will be faithful to complete it. That in the process of building you for ministry, God is concerned about your character, your personality, your ability to speak, your ability to stand before people, your ability to handle authority, your ability to be responsible, your ability to be accountable, your ability to do things honestly with integrity. All those things are part and parcel of becoming a minister of God. It is not just operating an anointing. If you think it is just operating an anointing, then you're going to be in for big surprises when one day Satan hits you where your character is flawed and he will destroy your whole ministry. And you will see 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of ministry just disappear before your eyes. Because you never understood or you never waited for God to finish the work inside of you. In ministry, everything is built from inside out. What you don't have inside of you, you don't have. I'll repeat that. What you don't have inside of you, you don't have. So you must always verify that you have something in God. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence. The Christian faith, everything in the Christian faith has an evidence. You have to wait for that evidence to be built up and brought into your heart by God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says that by faith we understand. So the result of faith has understanding. And when you move into your ministry, you will have understanding of what you are called to do. You may not know specifically what God is doing at any point in time, but you have a general understanding of what God has called you to do and what He means to do with you. And it's very important for you to know that. Because Christian faith is not make-believe. Christian faith is built on an evidence that God writes into your heart and brings out in a witness within you. And it has got wisdom, it has got knowledge, it has got understanding. We've done all these things in the past modules, and you need to see that this is so important. Your adequacy is from God. Your adequacy is from God. Verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, because many people think covenant is theology. And covenant is anything but theology. But of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. For the letter kills. And if you try to preach and minister by the letter, you will kill people because you will never bring them into the reality of God. You'll get them involved in a religious spirit and they will think they are doing wonderful things by coming to church on time. But the reality of God cannot be communicated by the letter. It cannot be communicated by the mind of man. It can only be communicated by the Holy Spirit. Only God communicates God. And as a minister of the new covenant, you are merely a vessel of the Lord. And you better make sure you are the right kind of vessel. That's your responsibility. God was willing to fashion the vessel. God is willing to mold the vessel and shape the vessel. God is willing to bring into that vessel specific function and application. But you make sure that you are the vessel of God and you are not your own vessel. Because it's very crucial that you understand that. So you are a vessel that is enabled by the Holy Spirit. Not in terms of some intellectual knowledge basis, but in terms of the knowledge that is written into your heart in revelation knowledge. Praise the Lord. So what is this covenant that God wants to build into your life? It is your part in a humongous plan that God has for humanity. Ultimately for His universe. And in this plan for humanity and that in God's universe, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to play an active role in that humongous plan. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. You may be praying for the sick, But in praying for the sick, God is building you and molding you on the inside, like He molded that woman who gave two mites. That woman had something. She had a knowledge of God that would have moved mountains. Now, in the act of just giving two mites, she had a reality of God that God would have ultimately developed into something of awesome proportions, because she knew how to live by God. Not many people know that. She knew how to live by God entirely. She knew how to depend on God totally and completely. And that is a knowledge form that is more valuable than anything else you can know. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't judge things by what they appear on the outside. And just because you are called to be in the prayer closet where nobody knows you or nobody has heard of you, and God wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and He leads you into prayer, and you pray for things sometimes that you don't even understand what you're praying for, doesn't mean that you are ineffective. It doesn't mean you're doing something that is unimportant. What is important is that you're responding to God. And in that process of responding to God, God is building inside of you a witness and a testimony of a covenant that He is building into you that one day will explode into something of awesome proportions. So if God takes you through wilderness experiences and He starts molding your character and your nature, there's good reason for that, because without a character and a nature, you can't do anything right. So there's nothing wrong with God taking you through a wilderness experience so that He can shape you and fashion you and form you. There's nothing wrong with God shaking your comfort zones and taking you into something where you have to depend on Him, where you're forced to depend on Him. And in the process of forcing you to depend on Him, He brings into you a whole new reality of life. He takes you through sorrow. He takes you through pain. He takes you through defeat. And through that whole process, He's teaching you that the things of the world are not the basis on which you build life. He shakes your business. Nothing stands. What is the whole purpose of all that? To tell you that nothing you build in your own strength is going to last. You might as well learn it now instead of wait for until you are 70 years old and have lost 70 years of your life. Living in a make-believe world, thinking that things that you earned are going to be with you forever. They are not. Or thinking that the things you earned are going to be the basis of life and its comforts and its assurances. It's not. There are so many things that can happen to you that can entirely make the reality of wealth meaningless. So God is making you adequate for His purposes. And so, in each one of our lives, we've all reached some level of maturity as Christians. It's taken God a long time to get through to some of us. But the fact that you have come to be able to even understand some basics in God is already a major breakthrough. And in that whole process, I hope God has taught you, right, that He is now ready to take you into something else. So this covenant God wants to structure inside of you, this covenant is of the Word. That which is not built of the Word will not stand the test of time. You cannot minister to people out of your emotions, out of your goodwill, out of your goodness and kindness of your heart. Nobody is going to be saved by human kindness and human goodwill. People are going to be saved by God. If you're not a vessel of God, you're not very much of a vessel. So it's so important for you to understand that you must be a vessel of God, and what God is trying to teach you is to become a vessel of God. So if you do not know how to pray, God wants you to learn how to pray from Him and by Him and through Him. So that in the process of prayer, He has taught you how to draw from Him something that you don't have in yourself. And do you realize that that whole process of learning how to do something by God is vital, because you can then take it and apply it in so many different facets of your life? Because one of the things we struggle with is the reality of God. How real is God? In ministry, God has to be very, very real to you. You cannot play with people's lives thinking that, you know, God must be there somewhere. I believe in one God. That's very nice. But you better know that this God comes through. When you're dealing with somebody's life and you're teaching him something for his own life, you better know something about how God works. You better know that God is there. You better know that he's using you as a vessel. That you're not speaking words that are some nonsense, but actually words of truth. Hello. If you put nonsense into another person, you can murder the person. So you can't go around like a wishy-washy, holy moly, and think that you're going to save the whole world. Only God saves. Man does not save. For a person to be saved, he has to come alive to God. If he comes alive to Christian doctrine, it's not going to do him anything. He's got to come alive to God. God saves. God is life. God is the way, the truth, and the life. God is the bread of life. When Jesus said, I am is the manifestation of the name of God. And that's crucial to your ministry. When you lay hands and you pray for someone, you must know in your heart that you are being used as a vessel. That your heart is connected with the heart of God and you're praying and you know God hears you. Having said that, you learn step by step by step. If you make mistakes, it's all right. As long as you're functioning in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Learning in the kingdom of God includes mistakes. But it does not include deliberate manipulation. So deal with the things that are hidden inside of you. Things like ambition, selfish ambition, hidden agendas. All that has to be surrendered to God. Your agenda must be the will of God. That may sound like terrifying, but it's not really. Because if you're willing to do something for someone with no strings attached, you will find that there are so many things that you can bring into a person's life that will bless them. And you need to understand that and know that. So this covenant is so important. So everything that you hear in the Word of God ultimately has the purpose of becoming a covenant that God structures in your very heart. So you are personally very important to God. Your success in the ministry is very personally important to God because He's put a lot into it. He's put a lot into your life. It breaks the heart of God to see a man fall in ministry after 25 years, 30 years, 40 years of ministry. It breaks his heart. Because the cost of a man of God falling hits so many thousands of lives. It undermines the faith of so many people. So you and I must stand by the strength of God. So God is going to make us adequate. As servants of a new covenant by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now what is this covenant structured on? This covenant is structured on the law and the prophets being fulfilled. Alright? That's very important for you to understand that. Now we have done teaching on that, and there will be a module in the future when we take this and we start talking about what it means to have the law fulfilled and what it means to have the prophets fulfilled. It's very important for you to understand that the Word of God is meant to be fulfilled. It is in that fulfillment that you minister. The fulfillment will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But in every measure of fulfillment that God brings into your life, He would have made you adequate to do something. And so you need to understand that, all right? So most of the law is fulfilled in the nature and character of Jesus. And that's something you need to ask for and seek from God. That God will mold into you the character and nature of Jesus. This is a covenant that is written by the finger of God. It's a covenant written by the Spirit of God. It's a covenant that is going to be written into your heart. It's going to be developed inside of you. It's going to be the work of God in your heart. It's very exciting to be God's workmanship. God will equip you with the wisdom. God will equip you with the knowledge. God will equip you with the love. God will equip you with the joy. God will equip you with the peace. God will equip you with the self-control. That's why the fruits of the Holy Spirit ultimately leads to self-control. But you must pursue it. You must know that it is there, and by faith you must go after it. Remember, this covenant is a covenant of the heart and a heart of flesh. The flesh is of the Lamb of God. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6, unless you eat of my flesh, you will have no life in you. So it is his flesh fashioned into your heart. And he's giving you a clean heart. He's giving you a pure heart. See, David was a very anointed man of God. He wrote the Psalms, and so many parts of the scripture were written by him. He was a great prophet of God. He was a king who ruled over the people of God. But his anointing and his calling did not prevent him from committing murder and adultery. So David understood that he had a fundamental problem. And so in Psalm 51, he cries out to God, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart." It was not that he was not anointed. It was not that he didn't know how to minister to people. It was not that he didn't know how to touch people's lives. David had sinned. He had betrayed God. And so he cries out to God and he says, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart." So in this new covenant that God is fashioning into your heart, he is creating the clean heart inside of you. He is creating the pure heart inside of you. He's creating that clean heart and that pure heart out of the substance of the fullness that is of Jesus Christ. And therefore you can be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. Remember, he is your adequacy. Listen to the word of God. He is your adequacy. Because if you put yourself there, then you can only achieve what you are capable of. And God is not talking about what you and I are capable of. He's talking about what he is capable of through your life. That's why he says that I am your adequacy. Some of us say, "Pastor, we must help ourselves." That sounds very great in the carnal world. But how do you help yourself to stand in the mount of the Lord, brother? Do you know how to stand in the mount of the Lord? Do you know how faith becomes, how hope becomes faith and substance? You don't know that. Do you know how to walk on water? Do you know how to turn water into wine? Do you know how to stop the storms? Do you know how to wake up the dead? Do you know how to open blind eyes? Who knows that? Only God knows that. And it's not just a question of functioning through an anointing. It's functioning in a relationship with God from a heart that he has consecrated inside of you. So as we move into ministry, there are things that we are doing in ministry. But you must always understand that what you are doing is just a small beginning. There's so much more to look forward to. And everything that you're looking forward to is dependent on the covenant that God structures in your heart. Because you may operate a gift and heal somebody today. But God is not just looking at the miracle today. He's talking about the reality being written and formed inside of you so that people can be healed for a long time from a lot of diseases. He's looking at the covenant. He's looking at the abiding. He's looking at that which will continue forever and ever. He's not just looking for something that is here today and gone tomorrow. So you see, Saul, he came under the anointing and he operated as a prophet, right? He had already fallen, right? But because he came under the anointing, he even spoke prophecy, and people said, "Oh my goodness, Saul can prophesy." But he lost everything in his ministry, isn't that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Anointings come and anointings go. But there is a covenant and there is an anointing that goes with this covenant that stands inside of you. It becomes part and parcel of your being. It will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It will enable you to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus in growing measures forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. So God wants to fashion this ministry in you. Let's look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So he's talking about light, and he's talking about knowledge, and he's talking about the face of Christ Jesus. Where? In your heart. Now he's not talking about a physical face. We in the natural look at a person and we think that because we know his face, we know him, right? Superficially. But here God is talking about the Christ whom you know in your heart. So the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's meant for your heart. So Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is the revelation of the God whom you know. This is so important because verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." Are you listening? The power has to be of God. God has to make you all that you become, not of yourselves. Because if you build something of yourselves, it will just become a limited thing. So many Christians try to grow as Christians out of their own effort, and it appears to be so. Then they hit a plateau and they can't grow. And for 10 years they haven't grown. Why? Because they built it all on their own efforts. This is all you can be. No matter how hard you try, that's it. But if you are built by God, there is no limit to what you can be. Because God is a creator. He can fashion things and form things inside of you. He can equip you with new anointings at all times. He can enable you to do things you've never imagined doing. Can you see that? So the surpassing greatness of the power is of God and not of yourselves. Listening. So as we sit here today, all of us have got major flaws in our character and our nature. We can't pray as we should. We don't read the Bible as we should. We seem not to be able to understand the scriptures as we should. If you already... in ministry, there are so many things you want to move in, but you know, you're afraid, you're scared, you are wondering, oh my goodness, will God be there? Now, in all of these things, you have to find God to make it happen. You're afraid to stand before people and to talk with people. And you have to discover that ability from God. You have got to ask Him to build that ability into you. It takes time, but you have to draw it that way. Then you can keep on growing. Then you will not be limited by who you are. You will not be limited by the capacity of your mind. You will not be limited by the capacity of your talents. Everything inside of you has growth potential, because as God builds you, He will also create in you. That's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Yeah? So as we look at ministry, God has undertaken a process in your life. Now for everyone who is a born again Christian, this reality of being in ministry is for them. So you don't have to wonder whether, oh my goodness, has God called me? God has called you. Let's look at the passage that says that. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 onwards. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now this is the leadership of the church. These are the offices in which the leadership of the church stands in. All right? But there's a whole bunch of other things that God wants to bring forth. So this leadership of the church in verse 12, what is its purpose? The reason why some are apostles and some are prophets and some are evangelists and some are pastors and some are teachers is that so that they can equip the saints for the work of ministry. Right? That's what I'm doing here. It's part of my ministry to equip people for the work of ministry. So who is going to do the work of ministry? You are doing the work of ministry. Some of you will grow into fivefold offices that will stand in leadership positions in the church. Others will be in body ministries, operating specific gifts, operating specific anointings for a time and a season, and then God will enlarge that. So if you look, for instance, at Stephen, who was the first martyr, his job in the church was to wait at tables. And then the Bible says that after that he became a great evangelist, who did signs and wonders. But he began his ministry waiting at tables. Now nobody would have said that waiting at tables would have led to him becoming a fivefold minister, a leader in the church. But that's what happened. So for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build. So what are we all doing? We are building the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Human beings, not concrete and steel and balance sheets. Human beings. Building of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith. One faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith that Jesus authors and finishes. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. All right? And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So what are we building? One church that is going to be one body, perfect. Do you understand what God is saying here? Right? He's saying you're going to be a perfect man. That is the whole purpose of ministry. You grow into it and others grow into it. So ultimately God is doing the impossible. Now where is this idea of the perfect man coming from? It is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, which says your adequacy is from God. Amen? Your adequacy is from God. If your adequacy was from yourself, you will never be perfect. How can you manifest perfection out of imperfection? How can a sinner become a saint? Right? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what are we ministering? The fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what is that heart of flesh that God is constructing within you? It is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. What is its purpose? To make you a perfect vessel of the Lord. According to the calling that God has on your life. According to the destiny that God has according to your life. Do you know what your destiny is? Only in vague terms. You know you have a destiny, but what that destiny is going to be, you don't have a clue. It is all meant to be something that God reveals and works into you in all eternity. Amen? So today, as you think about ministry in serious terms, you must understand its implications in the long term. And the implications in the long term is that you are going to be a unique vessel of the living God. That's powerful. There's so much God intends to build into you. So it's an adventure. It will have its ups and its downs. It will have its wilderness experiences. It will have its valley experiences. But it will always have its mountaintop experiences. But after the mountaintop experience, you will have another valley experience as God takes you into another process of molding. Now, how God has engineered it for your life, only He knows. But you must be prepared to go into it trusting God that He knows what He is doing in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God has undertaken a great purpose, okay? I want you to understand that it is structured out of a covenant. So your job is to receive the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and see God create you through His Word. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was very good. Amen. In James chapter 1 verse 17, it is written, "Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from the Father of lights." Who are those lights? You and me. Living lights. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 12, "He who follows me will have the light of life." Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Let's turn to that. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. "And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises," where? In your hearts. Amen. What is the morning star? It's like the sun, right? Light. Right? A ball of fire. Where is it going to come out of? The prophetic word. Where is it going to come out of? The prophetic word. And where is it going to be manifested? In your heart. Is this the work of man? No, it's not. It's the work of God. Is He talking about you? Absolutely. All right? So do you understand where you are as you say you want to minister? Praise the Lord. So you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. For what purpose? For the good works. That who has ordained? That the Father has ordained. Amen. What is the word there? Created. Created where? In Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So often we get into the way, isn't it? We tell God how to do things. That's probably how we end up in the wilderness, telling God how He should do things, you see. But that's part of the learning process, right? Until we come to the conviction that God knows better than us. Takes some time, though. Sad. So our adequacy is from God. And that adequacy will be brought into you by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is ordained by the Father's will. So as you stand here today, I hope that when you leave this place today, you understand that you are called to be a minister of the Lord. Don't worry about whether you have big callings or small callings. That's all secondary. Because ultimately, every calling that God is going to build into your life is going to be big. Right? If the prophetic word inside of you becomes a morning star, he's talking about something that the human being can't even conceive of. All right? Right? So, whether he starts you, right? Like, what was that guy, Stephen, right? Waiting on tables, or whether he asks you to start at a higher place, it doesn't matter where you start. What it matters is how you finish when you go to the Lord. It is where you finish and how you finish that counts, all right? So many people strut around like peacocks because they think they hold high office. But you don't finish the race, it doesn't matter what high office you were supposed to have had. Yeah? So start with the simple things, right? Praise the Lord. Should we pray? Father, we want to bless you and thank you that you have a purpose in each one of our lives. It is an awesome purpose. It is an eternal purpose. It is a purpose that you're going to begin in our lives from small beginnings, Lord. It is wonderful to hear that your word declares that our adequacy is from you. And therefore, Father, theoretically, nothing is impossible with us. Your word reminds us again that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. And so, Father God, if we are patient and if we trust you, and if we are willing to wait upon you, O God, if we are willing to listen to your word and see your word being performed in our lives, we will realize what our hearts and minds cannot conceive. We will realize your thoughts over our lives, and your thoughts are far greater than our thoughts, Lord. Your thoughts over our lives stretch into all eternity, Lord. Your thoughts over our lives grow and grow and grow and grow. They are the basis of eternal growth, so that we will ultimately become sons of God. Nations will walk in the light of our rising. These are realities we can't conceive. But it is written in your word that when the word that is planted in our hearts reaches its full potential, it will become a morning star within us, Lord. And that light will be so awesome that it will truly light nations, oh God. So we thank you for what you have begun in our lives. And Lord, we are not talking about just doing something to while away the time or to keep busy, Lord. We are doing something that has got eternal and abiding implications. How we do it and how well we do it and the right reasons for which we do it are so crucial to what you have purposed in our lives. Ministry is exciting, Father, because it's an entire discovery of what you have hidden in your heart for our lives. And that's wonderful, Lord, because there's so much to discover. And to have a journey of discovery in all eternity is wonderful, Lord. No wonder you told us that Jesus Christ is wonderful, because that whole journey is going to be unveiled in his witness and his testimony. It's going to be unveiled in a heart of flesh that is the construct of his fullness. It's a construct that is going to be brought into us by the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring into us a functionality that will enable us to do all things by the Spirit in Jesus' name. And so we thank you for the work begun. We thank you for the word that you have planted in our hearts. And as we learn to pray in tongues, Lord, as we learn to pray the word in tongues into us, Lord, Father, we pray for that revelation knowledge to be released in us. That revelation knowledge that unveils the spirit and life of Jesus. That knowledge, O God, that is built in the faith and love of Jesus. That knowledge that is built out of the character and nature of Jesus. That knowledge, O God, that is manifested, O God, in every facet of his spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, strength, courage, the fear of the Lord. Worship, obedience, trust, servanthood, Lord. And holiness unto you, Father. There is a whole humongous range of things for us to discover, because God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will have eternal life. And this ministry opens to us, O God, such an important facet of that life. It enables us to have purpose in that life, Lord. And without purpose, man will perish. Without purpose, man will decay. We know that already in the natural, Lord. We thank you that this ministry that we are walking into, whatever may be the call and whatever may be the vision that you have over our hearts, Lord, and over our lives, what you are giving us is purpose in eternity. So tell us, O Lord, very clearly in our hearts today, Lord, that how we do our ministry, how we walk into our ministry, is so crucial to all that we have in eternity, Lord. So bless each one of us. Bless our brethren in the church, that all of the church of Jesus Christ will come to realize that we are creatures of destiny, humongous purpose, whose adequacy is from the living God, who is going to make us a construct of his great love, Lord. We thank you and we bless you for the work begun in Jesus' name. Amen.